Hello and welcome to another episode of LA Podfidential. My name is Chauncey Talese and I'm the Los Angeles editor for Sports Adelante. Great website, you should all subscribe. Joining me today to talk about Championship Sunday and to mourn the LA Chargers is Chargers beat writer Derek Ross. How's it going, Derek?
What is going on, Chauncey? How you doing?
I'm fantastic, man. So let's just get into it. What happened on Saturday or Sunday?
Oh my goodness, man. What? That's a good question. That's a good question. I think everything happened. Everything you possibly could ever wish would not happen in that Patriots Chargers game happened, and it happened quickly. I'll say it like that. It was rough. It was rough. And you can tell by the faces on the sideline, it was like, oh my goodness, we woke up wrong today.
Yeah, how are the Patriots able to pick apart the Chargers like that? I mean, that's insane. Because they looked really good the week before against Baltimore.
They did. They looked really good against Baltimore. And quite honestly, they looked good for a few months. But I think to me, what ended up, they came across some coaches that really, really, if you don't mind me saying, don't play that ish. Like, they really are in it. You can tell that the Patriots are designed specifically for the playoffs and getting to the Super Bowl. Not to say that the Chargers weren't, not taking anything away from the coaching staff, but the Patriots they designed a great game to go up against the Chargers, and they knew exactly where to hit them and how to get it over with quickly. And God, man, that game was so quick. It was over with by like second quarter.
I know. I just can't believe that Chargers defense wasn't able to get to Brady at all. Derwin James just seemed a little bit lost, and Brady was just able to find Edelman all day. And I don't get what happened.
My preference is Melvin Gordon. I think Melvin Gordon is a great running back. I mean, he pretty much can probably do everything, and he's slightly bigger than most of like Gurley. You know, he's a big guy, but I'm not scared of him when it comes to the 1 yard line, close to 5 yard line. I would love to have seen him get going in a 20-20, you know, red zone to red zone, get him going like 80, a 40-yard run, 20-yard runs, because they needed a running game to just throw it off. And the Patriots were clicking. They were everywhere. And man, Tom Brady, whatever. What can you say?
I know. It's really kind of disappointing. I had the Chargers going all the way to the Super Bowl because I figured, okay, they can shut down Brady as long as they can run the ball like they did in Baltimore, because the Patriots' run defense isn't that good this year because their defense is pretty slow. And all Rivers needs to do is just make a couple throws here and there and they can control the ball. But the Patriots just like jammed it down their throat the entire day.
The whole day. It was nothing but the truth. Watching a game and getting a taste of what I was with you. I was actually, you know, last time we talked, I was hoping that the Chargers would get to the championship game. It seemed like it was perfectly set up for that to happen. I picked them, Sports Al Dente, shout out for my picks as going to the Super Bowl. That didn't happen. Thank you, Patriots, for just ruining all of that. But the Chargers definitely had a chance, and they had to do just what the Patriots did, just flip the script and actually start it off just as fast. And that did not happen. I'm going to keep saying that the whole time.
I know. It's surprising. Like, I wasn't a believer last time we talked, but then, you know, once they beat the Chiefs on that Thursday night game, I'm like, okay, they can do it. And then I'm like, they have a real shot at the one seed. That obviously didn't happen. Because the Chiefs just kept winning, but then they go into Baltimore and they basically just shut them down the entire game. Like, Baltimore came back late, but whatever. And I just thought, okay, this Chargers team has it. Like, they could be that team that just can go into Foxborough and win. But I don't know. Like, Philip Rivers hasn't looked right in about a month. I'm not sure if that's just because, you know, the defense has got better, Kansas City excluded, or it just was a matter of him just breaking down. I don't know, but I just really do. I feel like that Chargers team had the best chance of anybody besides the Chiefs to beat the Patriots, and they just came up short. And they solved their kicking problem, which was sad. They finally do that, and then they blow it in Foxborough.
Finally did. That field goal kicking. Man, it was here. This was the year they had the kicking. They had everything going. I would probably say to you, Chance, I mean, I wonder how different the Chargers would be if, not to say anything against their wide receiving core, which is all tall, possession, fast guys, but how well would they have done if they had like a Edelman or like a, just a guy that could just get quick, just quick cuts and just get open that maybe Phillips can feed, or Phillip Rivers can feed, because they, it was so, the Patriots had it so well calculated that wherever Rivers was going to go, it just seemed like they kind of knew. It was just odd.
They couldn't. I mean, Hunter Henry could only do so much because he just, it was his first game back, and they weren't gonna really do much with him. But I gotta wonder, like, if they did have like some sort of a bigger target, like if Hunter Henry were healthy, if that game would have been a little different.
I think so. I would agree with you on that one. They needed another weapon, something. Somebody that can get open consistently, not that to say that they weren't, but the Patriots took out their top targets.
Yeah, and they got to Rivers enough times that game too, which I was surprised at because the Chargers offensive line had been playing really well to that point.
They've been playing amazing. And I know that, you know, Rivers to me, I wouldn't say is Brady-esque, but when he starts to get touched up a little bit and that jersey starts to get a little green and, you know, a little brown, he starts to not play the same, which.
Well, you know, he's 36 and, you know, once you get past a certain point, it's harder to get hit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he was he was definitely getting hit. And I would go like this, not to hop around, but Tom Brady to me, And I was thinking about this, you know, Tom Brady to me is, to some, you know, some people can assume he's a GOAT in football standards. And I will throw this in the category. Maybe, you know, you can chime in and say that, you know, Michael Jordan is a GOAT. And
yes.
I also want to put maybe Phillip Rivers in that boat of like a Patrick Ewing, a Charles Barkley.
That's not, maybe. Well, not Ewing. That's a little unfair. Like, I know Ewing was good, but like Ewing wasn't good for as long as Rivers was good. I mean, Barkley was great for, you know, pretty much his entire career. But he's definitely on that list of like really good players that never won anything.
Never won anything, and they encountered or lived in an era of sports in their era with a GOAT.
Right.
And Phillip Rivers, as long as there's a Tom Brady playing, I'm at the point now, I don't know if it's Phillip Rivers will ever get there.
I don't think he will.
Tom Brady. Yeah.
Because, like, you know, he also had to contend when, like, Roethlisberger was dominant and Eli had his 2-year run. Like, and, you know, obviously Brady and Manning, too. And Breeze, even. Like, they all got to have their moment. And I kind of think this might be it for Phillip Rivers. He's still going to play, but I think this is their best possible chance to get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's tough. That's tough billings right there. That's tough to say.
You know, next year, like they only have about 23-ish million to spend, and they have to keep, I forget which other defenders are free agents, but they have to keep a couple guys. So they can't really have a lot of flexibility to add anybody. Mm-hmm. But if you were the Chargers, like what would you draft this year just to see maybe you can get like a couple more young pieces and make another run?
I would hope, after this should be the baseline game for them to check and see on their roster what they need to draft and what they need to get. And I would truly, truly would prefer for them to get maybe, I think they need somebody that can really get in the backfield. I know they have some studs, you know, I know they do, Bosa, but I would like to see there be somebody that can immediately one technique and just get back there.
Yeah, they need an inside guy for sure.
They do. I mean, if Tom Brady could have been, somebody needs to get back there, and some of the best teams that have been able to control him get back there quickly, because Tom Brady obviously gets rid of the ball very quickly.
Yes, he does.
And the Chargers did not have that guy or somebody at that point that can get back there quickly. And it would have helped a little bit to put some pressure on Tom to get a hand up.
Well, yeah.
Cue batted passes. So
plus it would have helped them to get in the backfield and stop, like, you know, Sony PlayStation and their other running backs, because they were just able to just run it all day, and they couldn't stop the throws to James White. Like they do, like out of the backfield, the Patriots were surgical, and I think if they had like another inside dude, they could have at least stopped it a little bit.
Just a little bit. There could have been their rotation, because a lot of the NFL teams rotate very well, with depending on their player personnel. But if they had a one or two guys, just somebody that's not afraid to just go back there and just mess everything up constantly, just wreak havoc. Aaron Donald, I know it's kind of hard to say, you know, for another team, but an elite level guy that can, or emerging guy that can just make things, just tear up the field. And it would be nice if the Chargers can kind of find that or draft that kind of a guy, for especially leading into next year, you know, with the Chiefs and everybody else. They're going to need to get faster on defense, which is kind of hard to believe, but they're going to need at least one or two more guys that are like unstoppable to the ball.
The good news for them is like, this is a good draft to have that. Cause this draft mostly is going to be defensive ends, defensive linemen, pass rushers. Like that's the biggest crop of guys you're going to have, like talent pool you're going to have this year. So there probably will be somebody for the Chargers to pluck. You know, maybe in the later rounds, maybe try to find another receiver. Because they do need a little bit more help on the skill set, on the skill line. Because Keenan Allen, God bless him, he's great, but he gets hurt a lot. And then, you know, Mike Williams came on strong like late in the year, but they really do need, you're right, they do need more weapons. Because it just seems like if Rivers is on, they can get into a shootout, but they don't have consistent weapons.
No, it's going to be helpful. It's kind of weird when we're watching sports, or you're checking it out and reading and writing about it, and it's like you start to see why teams draft the way they do and who they obviously are drafting against to win. And it seems like the Chargers have been, what, Phillip Rivers is what, 0-8 or something like that against Tom Brady?
Yeah. I think it's 0-9 now.
That's unacceptable. I mean,
it hasn't even been all his fault. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I guess. I'll be nice because I do like Phillip. I do like him. Phillip Rivers is a it's just hard to believe that he's gone 0-9 against a quarterback, which you obviously can believe that Phillip Rivers can beat, you know, with a good team. But they're going to need to definitely take this game and really start piecing together, at least being able to beat the Patriots, because now they have to worry about, like you said, the Chiefs in their own division. Because I would hope that they're not going to slip now. Like, this is a great season. I hope they don't fall.
I mean, maybe, because, you know, who knows what happens with Denver. Denver can always come back if they can get their offense straightened out. And then, like, the Ravens are coming up.
Yes, you are absolutely right. And all of these teams are retooling.
The Colts, the Texans.
So the AFC is... The AFC is going to have no problems being very competitive next year, and the season's still not over with yet. But when you look at the Chargers, it's like they're there, and it still feels like they took a step back after against the Patriots this past weekend. And I do agree with you, and I say put a little pause on it a little bit, you know, worry a little bit about what's going to happen with them.
I mean, the good news for them is, and I do owe you an apology, because last time we talked, I wasn't really a believer in Anthony Lynn, but he really seemed to figure it out towards the end. I mean, he's really grown as a coach, so that might help him down the line. You know, that's a really well-run staff. Gus Bradley had a great wild card weekend. I don't know what the hell happened this weekend, but, you know, they definitely have a solid staff. So maybe another year with that young defense. Who knows? If the Chiefs slip a little bit, they can maybe make up some ground. But, like, I think they'll be okay. But they definitely need to figure out a way to get better.
They need to figure it out. I don't know. Maybe this was like I wouldn't say a feel-good moment, because, I did feel great about picking them, and so you did too. I mean, they looked great. The coaching staff, definitely, I would give them way more credit than, I wouldn't say the players, because the players on the field, but the coaching staff brought it together. They made it happen, hence why they are all of them pretty much are going to the Pro Bowl to coach. I mean, this season was their season, and I hope they build off of it, but when it comes to going against the Belichicks and the Andy Reids now, like, they're going to have to be prepared next year.
And they can't blow any games in the during the regular season. Like, they had a great regular season, but there's a couple games they should have had.
They definitely should have had.
They could have been in a one seed, and then they probably would have beat New England because New England sucks on the road, which we'll get to a little later.
Yeah. You were spot on. Like, things could have been different, especially during that 1 month, that gap. I want to say, was it November, end of November, early December, when they could have locked up that number one seed when Kansas City took that loss.
And yeah.
When they missed it, I was like, that bye week could have helped. You know, fast track you to the playoffs or to the Super Bowl with a bye week, and they missed it. And coaching really in the playoffs, you can tell who's in the booth looking down on the field, assistant coaches, it all matters. And they need it. they're going to need to elevate themselves even more than the players next year.
And to their credit, going into Sunday, they were undefeated on the road. So that's saying something. I mean, that says a lot about your team when you can be that good away from home. But then again, they don't have a home field advantage anyway. So I guess they're kind of used to it.
Yeah, no home field advantage except just show up and show out and get some people to show up with some thunderbolts on their shirts, you know? I guess.
I don't know what they can really do about that. I mean, that's, you know, I still think they should never have left San Diego. I don't understand why they did. I know they didn't want to build the stadium, but come on, like, they don't really belong in LA. Like, I live here, and there's, like, zero traction for, like, there's, like, maybe I see once in a while, like a LaDainian Tomlinson jersey, maybe a Rivers jersey, but, like, I don't know, like, there's no Chargers interest at all.
Wow. Well, I'm pretty sure this year helped a little bit, you know, may have brought some attention.
I think if they had beaten the Pats, then maybe that something could have happened. But I think now it's like, all right, well, I guess they're out. Because, you know, the Rams have a little bit of that same problem, but it's gotten better. Like, their game on Saturday against the Cowboys, I had two of my friends went, and they said it was basically like 60-40 Rams, which I was surprised, because I went to the Eagle game earlier this year, and it was more like 51-49. In favor of the Eagles, so
yeah,
like, that's at least coming up.
That's coming up. I mean, you have the Chargers have a great opportunity to really rebuild their organization and their fan base, and it started with this year. It helped. I believe it helped. I think it can help for the future, winning against the Pats, or at least making the game competitive, at least making people feel as if they can trust that they want to follow them helps. But I keep saying they need to win. They need to continue to win, continue to have successful seasons, and then they can legitimately have their own thing going on, if you know what I mean. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I just really can't believe how uncompetitive that game was. I mean, actually, all the games this weekend, except for the Saints-Eagles, weren't really that competitive.
Right. It was that. That's what I'm saying. Like, it was the coaching, man. Like, you know, when I always underestimate who's in the booth upstairs, who's looking down. And then when they show or say that there's a guy coaching who's been doing it for 30 years in the booth, I'm like, oh, man. Like, now, back in the day, I was like, who cares? It's just a, you know, older guy in the booth.
Sure.
But now I'm looking at it like, you know, experience does matter.
Well, your staff matters. I mean, the Rams O-line coach came through, and he also, I guess, is the run coordinator, Aaron Cromer. Like, he really brought a good game plan against the Cowboys. That's how the Rams were able to win. They just ran the ball down the Cowboys' throat, even though the Cowboys have a really good run defense.
Yeah, that game was over quickly, too. I mean,
I wouldn't say quickly. Like, I was watching it with my Cowboy fan friends, and I was kind of nervous the entire time, just because I just couldn't believe that the Rams were doing that well the entire game. Like, they shut down Zeke, which was crazy because their run defense had been pretty bad to this point. I think they were like 23rd in the league against the run, but they came out with a really good game plan against him.
Absolutely, it was horrible. It was, I guess, not to cut you off, I guess I was saying that it went fast because they, watching the game, that game was over with me, because I cannot, the Cowboys never got him off the field every time. And that's why I was like, and they're running. I've never seen a team run so well in the playoffs against another team. And that's what was so like disheartening, what made the game so fast for me. It was like, all right, this is about to be over with quick.
Well, look, that C.J. Anderson thing's for real. Like, I had called it a week ago. I'm like, you know what? If he can even just be, like, semi-okay and just give Gurley a break, they'd be fine. And it turns out he was more than that. They both had over 100 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. They both scored. And I'm like, damn, if they can do this again for two more games, like, they could win this whole thing. And Jared Goff won't have to do a whole lot. But I don't think they'll make Jared Goff work on Sunday, unfortunately.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, make somebody work. I always use like references to other stuff. And one of the weirdest mm-hmm. things about watching somebody like boxing Floyd Mayweather, it looks like after his fights, he can go right to the club and his face doesn't look bruised up. He looks like he's fine to go. And after that Cowboys Rams game, it looked like both the running backs looked like they literally were probably, they could have played in another game. They didn't look like they were ever really touched. They didn't really have any kind of pain. It was just all running, all easy, all day. And who's next? And
I know. Except unlike Mayweather, Gurley and CJ Anderson didn't put anybody to sleep. Sorry, like I can't. Mayweather fights are hard to watch. Like it's the same shit every time.
every time. And he finishes like that, and that's what makes it so hard when you're watching sports. You at least hope it's competitive, mm-hmm. but come on now, if the one running back or two running backs are just having a field day, they're happy and cheerful at the end of the game. They look like they even broke a sweat. You didn't do your job at all, and that was bad.
And then the Colts, I was surprised. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised because the Chiefs are good, but I thought the Colts could upset the Chiefs in that game just because I really didn't trust that Chiefs run defense. And it turns out, they turned it on for the playoffs.
They turned it on for the playoffs. Isn't that something? The four teams that are remaining pretty much turned it on. I mean, I'm not going to count the Saints and Eagles. I'll take them out. But they turned it on. Like, the Chiefs turned it on against the Colts. And, Man, well, my picks.
I know. I had the Colts too, and I was like, okay, if the Colts weren't able to get anything going on offense, the Chiefs defense came to play, and then Mahomes didn't even have to do much. They just ran the ball really well.
Yeah, that was it. It's almost like some of these teams just stripped it down and went to the basics or what they knew the other team liked to do and said, mm-hmm. we're going to do it better against you, and you try to stop us.
Exactly.
And none of the teams were prepared for the other team to challenge their strengths.
Right. And then, you know, the Eagles Saints game could have gone either way, but I just feel like because the Saints are down early, but then they figured it out. They just kept feeding Michael Thomas
mm-hmm.
and the Eagles secondary, which has been battered and bruised all year, finally broke down. Like, they just couldn't cover the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That game was interesting too. I mean, I started to get that Eagles feeling like, oh my goodness, here they go. They're going to pull it off again. Nick Foles is about to be like the highest paid backup Super Bowl winning quarterback / whatever you want to give him ever. Hall of Fame. He was about to get it all, but it didn't happen like that. But I mean, the Saints they're here. And if there's any NFC East any NFC championship game, I would rather watch right now at this point. I guess the Rams and, you know, Saints should be the game.
That's gonna be a good game. The Saints almost beat themselves on that last drive. They got like multiple penalties. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to blow this, but they kept coming back. Like, it was just impressive. And, you know, God bless the Eagles, but, you know, the I think Breeze has the magic this year. He overcame Breeze. Big Dick Nick, for God's sake.
Yeah. Yeah. Drew Brees constantly breaks hearts. And how about
I know.
That?
I like I'm nervous going into this one. Like I think the Rams can win, but you know, it's been really hard for any road teams to win in the conference championships since the Ravens or the Niners did it and like the 2012 Super Bowl. But so I don't know. And the crowd will be nuts. And I really think this sounds stupid, but it's going to come down to Goff. Like, I really think if Goff can just beat that secondary like he did, well, he almost did earlier this year and how he did last year, that's how they win. Because I think the Saints are ready for the Rams' dual rushing attack, even though they'll try to establish it, try to get the play action going. But I really do think they're going to force Jared Goff to beat them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the best option that they have. I mean, you have to make him beat you. I would not bank on trying to stop the run now that you know that they have two quality running backs that can do two different things but still have the same tangibles to get it done.
Yeah.
I would hope that the Saints do their best to stop it. But I don't know. This is going to be a high-scoring game. Like,
you see, I'm going the other way on that one. I don't think so. I think both defenses are going to be ready.
I don't think
Marcus Peters gets torched as much as he does, because at least now they have Tlaib. Like, Tlaib hasn't been a world beater since coming back, but at least it's something. Like, he's not going to be stuck on an island. Like, John Johnson's been playing really well, and if LaMarcus Joyner has an okay game, then maybe that secondary will be fine, but I can see Aaron Donald having a big game on Sunday. Like, I think he finally, like, has a major breakthrough, because he had that one really big stop in the Cowboy game.
Yeah.
But
they
did a good job double-teaming him. But the Saints have their guard. I think it's Andreas Pete is out. He tore his – I think he broke his hand, so they might not have him. So Donald can probably take advantage of that matchup. I don't know. But I definitely think both defenses will be ready.
Yeah, if you don't have – it's kind of weird. If you don't have an all-pro going against an all-pro, then it's going to be a long day. Not to say anything against any of that, but
sure.
That's one of the only reason why I didn't pick the Cowboys. If the Cowboys had Travis Frederick and their O-line was fully, you know, not really having injuries pretty much the whole year, but Travis Frederick really makes a big difference, and he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
They could have had a better chance against Aaron Donald, even though they did do a fairly good job, but he was a difference maker for me. Isn't that funny? Talking about an offensive lineman could be a difference maker, but he definitely.
No, they are. The Rams offensive line basically won that game on Saturday. Like, they were completely dialed in. There weren't a whole lot of penalties. They just pushed around the Cowboys front seven all night, and then their defense wore down.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how. That is what happens, folks, when you play football. What is that? Hat on hat, helmet on helmet, just blowing people out of the way. And it was kind of disrespectful, to tell you the truth.
Well, they even said after the game, they're like, yeah, we knew what the Cowboys were doing. We could read their defensive signs, so it made life a lot easier. We knew how to block. They were just going to stunt most of the time, and we were ready for it. Obviously, they won't be able to do that against New Orleans, because New Orleans will be a lot more ready for it, but for them. But like, that's embarrassing on Dallas's part that they didn't catch that and try to change things up.
No, they didn't. They didn't. You know, I hope sometimes during the games you see some defensive scheme changes, but you can only coach so much, and athleticism can only carry you. I guess now
they didn't adjust. That was part of the problem. I kept waiting for the Cowboys to adjust, but they just never could. They just, like, Scott, I don't know why Scott Linehan's coming back, by the way. Like, I don't know why they needed to say he's coming back, because he's really been a hindrance to them all year, even against the Seahawks. Like, if it wasn't for Brian Schottenheimer being a worse coordinator that night, the Cowboys could have lost that game.
Oh yeah. That's probably why, on my part, I probably underestimated coaching and who's watching and who's saying what and doing what. I mean, and then when you're going against the board or going against all of these games or checking them out, it did come down to that. From the Patriots to the Chiefs to, you could just start naming the coaches, you know, all of the coaches, even with the Rams, the Saints, of course. Like, these coaches, if they're not innovators, they are literally guys I would not want to be in a room with.
You're either getting better or you're done. Like, you're not, there's no middle ground. Like, Jason Garrett, you know, I make fun of him a lot. Lever makes fun of him a lot, and that's Saturday showed why. Like, he just, there was no imagination. They just kept trying the same thing and not bothering to adjust.
Exactly. And I wonder, is that, that's playoffs.
Right. I mean, the Eagles Saints was pretty evenly coached, and it just came down to a couple plays on the actual field. But like, those were two really well-run staffs. Sean McVay, you know, finally shut some people up on Saturday, and that staff is good top to bottom.
Absolutely.
Like, that's where it's starting to matter. Andy Reid's staff was impeccable on Saturday, and, you know, Belichick was Belichick.
I wonder if you can start drafting coaches in NFL.
Yeah, I'm sure they wish, because, you know, Lincoln Riley would be taken by just about everybody, but that ship has sailed.
Everybody, I agree with you, Chauncey. I don't understand what it is or why, but that's why I was saying about the coaching and the playoffs, and you can tell who this is business. And if you are in my way, I am going to get rid of you quickly, because I have another game to play. And that is clearly how a lot of these coaches were coaching. Like, it was almost like it was totally day and night with some of them. Jason Garrett, yes, he is a good coach. You could tell he's a rah-rah guy and get you, you know, fired up. But when it comes to creativity and that coaching staff, you just question, like, do you understand that this team is ready to knock your head off because they have a purpose? And do you have the same? I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah. So. And then, you know, Sunday, like, Sean McVay and Sean Payton are both, you know, they're both really good in-game coaches. And, like, Payton obviously has more experience, but I do think that gives the Rams a bit of not an edge, but it at least keeps them from getting embarrassed. Like, they're not going to get embarrassed on Sunday. I know that for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be both passions on the sideline, both head coaches.
Yeah. And there's just a lot at stake. I mean, this could be Breeze's last shot at a ring. And, you know, if he wins a second ring and then breaks Manning's touchdown record next year, like, that could vault him, like, you know, ahead of a bunch of other, like, you know, Hall of Fame quarterbacks, too. Mm. So he's got a lot to play for. And, you know, on the Rams side, like, Sean McVay would prove that, you know, he is the next, like, big coach in the league. And that, like, that their whole approach works, because they're still in that stage the Warriors were at before they won. We're like, oh, you can't win with 3-point shooting, and they won. Now look where the Warriors are. So I don't know. Yep. A lot at stake for both of these teams. They both went all in this past year. You know, if it doesn't work out, then they're kind of not screwed, but like, they definitely can't get better a whole lot.
I would you also say that it's also interesting to look at the fact that it's almost young against seasoned veterans.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's interesting.
You know, if Goff plays really well, it could finally prove that, yeah, I can win in this league. Because, you know, everyone gives Wentz the benefit of the doubt because he looked really good until he tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you know what, Wentz is a franchise quarterback. And then Dak Prescott, because he had that one really good rookie year, he's a franchise quarterback. But Jared Goff, there's still, like, I don't know, man. Like, no one's really dying to give him that extension. Even me, I'm not even sure. And if he comes through, you know, on Sunday and then has a good Super Bowl, I'll be like, okay, I wouldn't mind giving this guy a huge deal, because there's something there. Like, he shows flashes, but like after their bye week, he didn't play well. He had 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in 6 games. It's not that great.
No, that's not good at all. That's not good at all. But they challenged Drew Brees against Jared Goff. It's going to be an interesting one. I'm definitely going to say that Drew Brees has. Can never count against Drew Brees even Tom Brady. those guys, if you do or don't like them, and if you aren't a favor of age, you want some youth and infusion of, you know, that young, effervescent attitude.
Yeah.
Well, hold on now. you still got some veterans out here that are still proving that they belong and they have a purpose. And those two games, NFC and AFC, are going to be epic.
epic. Well, the AFC one's going to be majorly epic because, you know, you'll have what you'll have the Arctic storm that's coming in over that weekend. So it's going to be super cold. You have a Patriots team that was, I think, 31st on the road. So they have to overcome that. Mahomes, you know, he hasn't had a good playoff game yet. Sunday might be the one. And Andy Reid trying to finally get that get over the hump. Like, there's a lot at stake in that one too.
Almost like it was scripted. Just kidding.
I mean, the Patriots getting a 2 seed is almost a joke. Like that, because they really weren't the second best team in the AFC all year. But whatever, that always just works out for them. Yeah. But like, no, there's a whole lot of stuff. Because like, if you know, is Mahomes the future? Mahomes could be the future of the league. I mean, well, he is the future of the league, but it could come a lot sooner if they win. You know, that Chiefs fan base hasn't had happiness in a very long time.
If it's a Mahomes versus Goff in a Super Bowl, would that mean that the passing of the torch has finally happened? Like, do you think it was that too?
I would say yeah, if only because, like, you know, Brady's going to be 42 next year, and, you know, it's going to fall off eventually. Breeze, he's 40 now. So it's going to fall off. Like they'll still be there. They'll still be throwing, but it won't be at some point it's not going to be the same. And even with like guys and like Rivers won't be, it will still be okay, but maybe not the same. Roethlisberger, it's going to end eventually. Eli, it ended 2 years ago. Like it seems like a changing of the guard. Then you have Aaron Rodgers lurking.
It sounds like the way you're saying it, make it sound like an old Western when, you know, the same guys show up, but after a while they got to get some young guys in there to help out, you know. So it's so odd. I asked you that because it's so odd because I would never in my probably football era or watching football would truly believe that we would ever get to this point asking that. But there is some great talent that is now in the NFL or are the faces of the NFL, but. Thank you for keeping it competitive, and thank you for the 40-year-old men still showing got it.
Because the last couple of Super Bowls, you know, you have Manning with the 2 Super Bowls before he hung it up. Brady's been in the 3 in this decade. Like if you have a like the last Super Bowl not to feature Manning or Brady, I think was the Flacco Kaepernick Super Bowl.
Wow.
Which, well, not that long ago, still feels like a long time ago.
It still feels like a long time ago.
It does. Like Russell Wilson was the only real youth you had in there. I mean, Matt Ryan, he's quietly older than you'd think he is. And then, but it's just been Russell Wilson against the old guys. Now, if you can get two new blood in there, that'd be great.
It'll be great. You know, smooth transition.
Yeah, it's like when, you know, once Jordan wasn't going to the finals anymore, they had to find new blood. And then luckily Shaq took the mantle for a little while. And then, you know, you had Duncan for a while and then LeBron forever.
it's just the way
Yeah, there comes a point where, like, you need like that new next generation.
Right. And so I guess you're right. These two games. This could be it. This is the I wanted the Drew Brees call Tom Brady and be like, look, we ain't gonna just let this go down like this.
I really don't want the Pats to win. Like they've ruined enough of my birthdays the last couple of years, so I'm done with that. Like I don't want the anxiety because like last year I was like, I want to enjoy this, but it's like if they win, god damn it. And then I was the only person at my Super Bowl party that knew the Falcons were gonna blow it.
Oh, really?
Like, I could just see it. Yeah, well, it's 28-3. I'm like, I don't feel good about this. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I've seen this movie before. Uh-huh. Like, I could just, it would, and then the Patriots start coming back. I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, I just know, because that's what they always do. Like, I know 28-3 is a lot, but I'm like, even I can just see it happening. Like, it's just going too well.
Too well. Too well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I absolutely want to go against the Patriots, but every time I feel like I do, something changes. And I think that most sports fans, we really just have to get on board, not in the sense of saying that we support the Patriots, and I'm just speaking for myself, but damned if they don't find a way every time to.
Oh, just... no, I respect them. I hate their guts, but I respect them. Like, that's why I knew they were coming back into Atlanta. That's, I just like, yep. I that's how much respect I have. It's coming.
It's a, the Patriots to me are almost like you have a party, but somehow they always show up. Like, how do you always, I didn't tell you. How did you always, that's them in the playoffs. Every time you think they just, here they are.
And you're like, oh, here we go. Like the Chargers is a great example. I'm like, here we go. This is the team that can finally beat him. And then Belichick just comes out of the game plan and just destroys him.
Oh, yeah. He wanted them the whole time. So
I want Mahomes to win this. I love Patrick Mahomes. He's become my adopted son. He basically won me my fantasy league, which that matters. But, like, no, just really fun watching him play. But I'm like, God damn it. This could just be like when, you know, it was fun to watch Manning, and then he just, like, they go against the Patriots and they just shut him down. He didn't need to be good on a Saturday against the Colts, but I was still concerned that he didn't, you know, come out like gangbusters. But who knows? Maybe they're just kind of saving him.
I like to think that some teams aren't trying to show their full hand. Maybe,
they didn't need the full hand against the Colts. They kind of knew, like, all right, we can just run it on them because their run defense isn't really that good yet.
And the Chiefs know one thing that the Pats do very good with is video footage.
I know.
But don't bumps.
I know. My Rams are ground zero for that. And, you know, I know a lot of Pats, having seen the walkthrough and Mike Martz being one of those coaches that just couldn't adjust his game plan. Like, if they adjusted the game plan, they win that Super Bowl, and maybe we're not even talking about Brady Belichick yet. But, that's what happens.
That's what happens.
That's why the Rams completely deteriorated after that Super Bowl and then weren't heard from until last year.
Yeah, then they had to go through all of this rebuilding. Yeah, no, you're right. Well, here they are, just like that.
Coaching's about adjusting, and luckily Andy Reid can adjust. I mean, if he can just get over the clock management stuff, I think he can actually do this.
He can do it. He can do it. I mean, is it safe to say he is a Hall of Fame coach?
Just his winning percentage is astronomical. I think he might be – he passed Schottenheimer for the winningest coach of all time, I think.
All right, well, you know what? A nice ring will help – soothe your spirits.
I know. People would, even if Reed were to win, they'd be like, well, that's his one, but he's not going to get any more. Like, it's still Andy Reed. But you know what? I mean, he technically already has one because he was the OC during that Favre Super Bowl, but still, like, he can win. I just think he's just been hindered by some bad luck.
I would say this. I think that he is going to go all out against the Patriots because he knows what to expect.
Had that game in Foxborough and they could have won that. I just don't think they were ready. And now they have Eric Berry back, so they have a little bit more firepower on their defense. Their pass rush is pretty good. As long as the Patriots can't really run the ball that well on Sunday, then the Chiefs can win this. It's going to be super cold, so you never know how that's going to play out. I'm a believer. The Chiefs' skill guys can beat the Patriots.
They can beat the Patriots. I think that if Tom Brady if they can sack Tom Brady at least about four or five times, I'm talking about not the soft Tom Brady fall to the ground sacks. I'm talking like Tom Brady not paying attention and getting blasted at least once or twice in that cold weather. The Chiefs can really disrupt how he feels. And
at 41, at a certain point, like getting hit in the cold is going to matter.
Oh, it's going to matter. It's going to matter. And the Chiefs have that window. They have a youthful quarterback who's running. He's spry. You know, he could probably take a few hits and keep going because he's fearless. Not to say that Tom Brady isn't.
He can get out of the pocket, too. Like, he's, and good Lord, can that guy improvise. Those sidearm throws are incredible. He can, he can just deliver the ball anywhere he wants.
I think I also, as soon as you said that, when you said a sidearm, that's why I'm like, this is going to be an interesting battle of tight ends, too. It's always a good battle of tight ends.
I don't think so, because, Gronk's done. Like, they were talking if the Chargers had won on Sunday, that would have been it. He's going to retire. One way or the other, he won't be on the Patriots next year.
So the Gronk is gone. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Gronk's washed, dude. Like, they tried to trade into the Lions, and Gronk heard about it and wanted to retire, so they had to squash that trade.
Isn't that something? Well, like you said, youth, health, that I'm all about that window. Mm-hmm. And if the NFL team can capture that window, then they can have that opportunity. So if you have a legendary quarterback like a Drew Brees, maybe a Phillip Rivers in there, his window, if you can build around that window, because it's a small window.
And except for the Patriots, then that window is just open. It's not even a window. It's just open air.
Just over there, just crawl in and crawl out. It's just that big.
It'd be even wider if they didn't trade Garoppolo, but I guess you couldn't keep him forever.
Couldn't keep him forever. Nah, you couldn't.
Especially, I'm pretty sure Brady's the reason why he got traded as soon as he did.
Yeah. I know for a fact if I was a quarterback and I was sitting back and I felt like I was a legend, and then seeing this guy behind me chucking and throwing the ball, high-fiving.
Well, connecting to their teammates, because you're 40, you're like 40, and like, you know, you can't really bond with any of those guys anymore. You don't have nothing to talk about, whereas Jimmy's young and handsome, and, you know, I get it.
We could talk. I could show him pictures of my kids and
right. Like no one wants to hear about your avocado ice cream, or how he doesn't drink coffee, or how he's in bed, you know, by 8 o'clock every night.
Nope.
They want to talk to Jimmy about anything else. Like, there's just nothing.
Exactly.
You know, it happens. like fine. And Tom probably didn't like that, because, you know, That's not fun to watch, because then it's like, well, how long will they just get rid of me? Because Brady's been around with the Patriots, and they've gotten rid of people, you know, like they've gotten rid, like before they had to, like Vince Wilfork, Larry Malloy, all the like Deion Branch.
Yep.
Like they're not afraid to get rid of you, even if you're Brady. If they're like, well, why not extend this thing and keep Jimmy and you age somewhere else, but they didn't.
No. I guess what a few rings on a hand almost
true.
Yeah, but that can help.
Well, again, though, I mean, he probably is like, I don't want to get Joe Montana either, because, you know, the Niners traded Montana to the Chiefs.
Yes.
Because they had Steve Young. People forget about that.
And that was a big deal. Joe Montana. Steve,
yeah.
But you couldn't pass up on a Steve Young. I mean, what can you do?
Exactly. But they did. They didn't. They decided, you know what? Thank you, Joe. Enjoy Kansas City. Luckily for Joe, he won a playoff game there, but it just wasn't the same.
Mm-hmm.
And like Montana's still bitter about that.
I can believe that. Why wouldn't you be?
And Brady being a Niners fan, he knows. So that's probably what led to that. But, you know, luckily for him, he was able to just sustain it. And they've been, you know, they won. I think they've won a title since they traded Jimmy. So.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it goes.
Yep.
When you got rings and you got a lot of rings to the point where, you know, you can snap your fingers and just mm-hmm. get rid of Avengers.
Exactly.
I know,
but it ends eventually, and the Patriots are pretty cutthroat. So Brady, that's why I'm guessing Brady had to have done something about Jimmy, because, like, you know what? I just want to end here. Like, I don't want this guy here. Like, I don't want it.
Maybe Chance, just jokingly, maybe they did a throwing to the death, like maybe him and Jimmy just like aired it out behind closed doors just to see.
I'm not even sure thing. Jimmy was aware there was a problem. Like Brady would just kind of ice him out at practice, and Jimmy's like, "What? I said all I did was say hi to the guy." They're like, that's just Tom, and then next thing you know, he's traded to San Francisco for a second round pick.
Just that quickly, it'd be like, Tom, go ahead, go to the locker room. Jimmy's gonna run the scout team. Nah, I'll do it.
It's
Tom.
Like Boogie Nights when Dirk Diggler's threatened by that Johnny Doe. He just doesn't even want to shake his hand. You know, Burt Reynolds has to make excuses for him. Like, oh, he's just shy. He's just shy.
That's it.
I mean, you know, they luckily for them, they nipped it in the bud before Tom Brady could fight him at the pool.
Right.
So who do you have in the NFC coming out of the NFC? Do you think the Rams can do it, or do you think the Saints home field advantage takes care of it and the Saints win?
I'm going to go with the Rams.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was actually going to go Saints.
I'm going to go. I do respect players like Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Hands down.
That's where it's coming from for me. I picked the Saints at the beginning of the year, and I'm not going to quit now.
And I don't blame you, but it's something about those Rams that I'm going to roll with. I think that I'm going to give the edge to their running game after the way they've been dismantling a few people.
Yeah.
I agree with you. If they keep the ball out of Jared Goff's hands and have him do the best throws he can do, don't have him be extra.
That's where I think the difference is going to be. Cause like, I don't know, he looked okay on Saturday. But I'm like, God damn it. He's going to overthrow Reynolds at least once. He's going to overthrow Everett a couple times. I could just see it. Mm-hmm. In the Eagles game I went to, like, that's what happened. I'm like, if he just completed like that pass, or if he just completed like one or two of these, they win that game.
Yeah.
But he was missing dudes. I don't know what the deal is, but maybe now that like they've established a dual threat running game again, they can keep it going.
Yes, they can keep it going. I will also give the edge, which I think the Rams would do before the Saints, to the first team who does a trick play, a flea flicker, a double reverse to the wire, to the quarterback. Somebody's going to do something in that game that we're not prepared for, a fake punt. And I feel like the Rams.
Sean Payton would just kick on sides if to start the game if he could. He did it at halftime at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That was like the famous play that probably won them the game.
That's it. That's what I'm talking about. Like the Rams, Saints, somebody's going to pull out something to throw somebody off. Going to get boring. Maybe both teams are just going to be sitting there nudged at like three. And then all of a sudden somebody's going to open up the flood door. Like we're going to do a fake field goal. Then
yeah, they're both going to be in fuck it mode. Cause that's what both of them like to do. They're just, you know what? Fuck this. Like we're going for it. I don't anticipate a lot of punts unless Goff is just bad or Breeze is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like that could happen. Like Breeze started off slow on Sunday. So maybe like fatigue is kind of wearing in a little bit on him. Cause he's 40. I don't know. It's really about me like trusting Goff. Like I think they can. It just I need to see it.
Girly early. Give it to Girly early.
My worry with him though is like I still don't think he's healthy. And you know, luckily for them, CJ Anderson's been able to pick up the slack, but like there were a couple moments in the Dallas game where I'm like, Girly doesn't they haven't been using him that much. They've been trying to keep him work him back in maybe. And he was able to get the big runs. He had two really big runs in that game, but I don't know. Just every time like he got hit, I got nervous.
Yeah, that was a good warm-up game. The Cowboys game was
that might be it.
The Cowboys game was a good warm-up game.
Maybe. I think it'll be close, and I think the Rams can win, but I'm just gonna go with the Saints because that's just who I've had all year.
Oh yeah. I would not go against you on that pick. I'm just going with the Rams because the way that running right there last game,
even though it's
Cowboys, I'm just going to have to go with them and just see what they can do. You know, bring some excitement. I'm all about bringing excitement.
I'll be more sold if the Rams run defense shows up again and shuts down Kamara. If they could do that, then I'm like, okay, we got something here.
See, they can do it, but that's why I'm thinking the Saints, somebody's going to do something trickery. Somebody's going to do something.
They'll both do trickery. Even in that first game they played, there was some trickery.
Yeah, like, I see it happening multiple times. Like, a coach will do one, and the other coach will be like, oh, I could do one better than that. I can just feel it going away. But, yes, Rams.
Who do you got coming out of the AFC?
Ooh, coming out of AFC, that's a tough one. I don't know why this is tougher than the NFC. But I am going to go with the Chiefs. I want to go with the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. I want your outcome. That's the one I want. I think it'll be Saints-Chiefs. Like, I think the Chiefs can, they'll have enough firepower and they'll be able to make enough plays late to beat the Patriots. Like, I think it happens because the Pats on the again. I'm leaning on the Pats on the road thing. I just think, you know what, this is the time. And if Andy Reid is ever going to win a ring, it'd be this year.
It'll be this year. I don't know. I don't know if I've looked it up or seen it, but what's Andy Reid's record against Belichick? Do we know?
I forget, but he has put up the most points against Belichick in the last few years.
Okay. Okay.
Like every time he plays him, he's able to put up points.
Okay. All right. That
so you have Chiefs Rams. I have Saints Chiefs. I'm hoping you're right, but you know, we'll see.
Okay. I appreciate that. I hear your picks. I don't disagree with your picks in a sense, but they do make sense. Either way, we are not going with the Pats.
No, I'll be very angry if the Pats win. I mean, at least there's no one on the NFC side that I don't want to see. Like if it was Eagles Patriots again, I would probably not watch because I hate the Eagles fans so much. They're the worst people on the planet. Well, not the worst, but they're close.
I'll add in this. If the Eagles were to have gone to the Super Bowl again, Nick Foles has to be the starter from now on.
No, though they already said, like, if he were to win, I think they'd still let him go. Because, like, they can't. Problem is, like, what are you going to. You can't. They can't really afford to keep him because they have the worst cap situation in the league.
That is some BS. That's bull.
They're over $12 million. And I don't know. Like, they could try to trade Wentz. I'm sure they'd find some suitors, but. I don't know. Like, regular season Nick Foles might not show up, and then what do you do? I know Wentz gets hurt all the time, but like, they'd have to really think about it for sure.
Yeah, they would have to think about it. That was the only thing I could think of. If Nick Foles was to actually take the Eagles back to the Super Bowl,
miraculously
won one. That was what was on the back of my mind. Like, if he won another,
I would almost want that for the sake of anarchy, just because the Eagles fans wouldn't know what to do with themselves.
Oh, it would have been crazy. Crazy.
All right, man. Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Derek, for being on the show today. Enjoy the games on Sunday. We'll talk in the off season.
We'll talk, man. Thank you again, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for listening.
Adios.